Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast.
This is show number one, and because we are really focused on Windows Phone 7, and after that, Silverlight, we're not going to talk about any of that today with our guest, John. So, John, welcome, John.
Thank you.
So the premise of this, and I was talking to you about this before we started, is that it's not an interview, but it's also not just two guys kind of sitting around chatting. It's kind of a hosted discussion. And I don't even know what that means, but we'll see. As we go. But the trick to that is to get somebody who's got something interesting to say. And not having been able to do that, I asked you.
So right.
There you go. You were involved with Alt.net. Is that a fair statement?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to know if I actually got my card.
Yeah, but you got the secret membership handshake, which is the important part.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, it kind of depends on the definition of alt.net.
Let's start there. That's fine, because alt.net is one of those things that people keep talking about and mean very different things, and so they end up talking past each other. So go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you about the definition.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, it depends who you talk to. What I first heard about this was from David Larrabee's blog post, and he just coined the term alt.net, and he said, you know, are you alt.net? And that alt, if being alt.net means you're kind of aware of the broader ecosystem and you use whatever is practical, you use what makes sense to you. And then some people reacted to that in the community by saying, alt.net means if you use these tools and not these Microsoft tools, then you're alt.net. And Allende followed that up. This is, I guess, 2007,
maybe. I think. April, May, June 2007, yeah.
Yeah, right after MVP Summit 2007. Mm-hmm. And Allende wrote a good blog post that said, just like, look, this is more a way of thinking, a way of mind. It's not just you do these list of things, you're alt.net, you do this other list, you're not. It's just more kind of, we're talking about a way of thinking.
Right. And so when I went back and looked at some of the docs on what people were saying, what I was seeing was originally it was, okay, we're doing all this .NET stuff. And in order to not be totally handcuffed into .NET, alt.net says, well, we're still doing .NET stuff, but we're looking for the best possible tool. And as those tools emerge, we're the kind of developer who's interested in jumping to the best rather than an equally valid thing to do, which is to get really good at something and only jump when the bar is, you know, it passes a very high bar. But it started sort of inside .NET developers. And then there got to be this very weird twist on it, which was, you know, ABM, anything but Microsoft, in order to be hip and cool in alt.NET. And so then I started discovering people who were sort of afraid to say or reluctant to say, I'm alt.net, or I'm, you know, I like the alt.net premise, because they were afraid they'd be misunderstood as I'm a Microsoft basher, which was particularly interesting for people in Microsoft.
Right, exactly. Yep. And so I think that really there's, depending who you talk to, there's two different definitions that I'll hear for alt.net. One is this just kind of, I'm open-minded, I'll consider anything that's going to make me productive and happy as a developer. And so, you know, if Microsoft comes out with something great that I love, that's awesome. If there's something better in the open source community, that's awesome. I'll continually reevaluate my options. Like in this way of thinking, I'm not a Microsoft developer. I'm not an Hibernate developer. I'm not a Silverlight developer. I'm a progressive developer, you know.
Right.
I'm a developer that's going to pick and choose what's best for me, and I'm going to vote with my feet, and you know, I'm just going to do what makes the most sense. And I think some of this probably came as a reaction to, you know, inside the Microsoft circuit, there's conferences that Microsoft run conferences generally focus on Microsoft technologies. So historically, you go to a Microsoft conference, you're probably more likely to hear about Entity Framework than you are about and Hibernate, because it's run by the experts that built Entity Framework, you know. I think that's continually changing over time, there was this kind of reaction in the just broader .NET community where people said, you know, look, we really we're in this for us, and we're going to do what makes the most sense for us. And you know, it just kind of grew out of that. I think then, as with any kind of movement, you get people who have different motivations or thoughts on where it should go based on you know, what their experiences have been. So for some people, it was like, yes, this is the revolt against Microsoft. And I've generally been pretty happy with Microsoft technologies. I love .NET. I love a lot of things. You know, I came to work for Microsoft because I love Microsoft technologies.
So let's back up and pick apart some of those pieces.
Sure.
Because when I was consulting and people would say, well, why use this technology over that technology? Certainly one valid reason in my mind was having everything from one vendor helps avoid the finger pointing, helps avoid you call tech support and they say, oh, well, that's not us, that's them, right? If it's all from one vendor. So that had some weight. It wasn't, as lawyers say, dispositive, right? It didn't answer the question, but it got weighed in. Then the second question is the amount of time you've invested. And so there's two sides to that. Well, there's a few sides to that. One is the old, if all you have is a hammer, the whole world looks like a nail problem, right? So that's definitely a problem. The other is the cognitive dissonance problem. If I've gone with Java, then I don't really want to hear that C#, it would have been a better choice because, boy, I just spent a lot of time really learning all this Java stuff. And
right.
Now what does that mean? So, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to change. And the truth is, it's not clear. I remember way back in the early DOS days being told, you know, you should know 4 or 5 languages because different tools for different things. And my feeling was, I know C and it's a pretty flexible language. And maybe over here, Pascal would be a better thing. But what does the better service to my client? Is it that I know C 100%? Or I know C 80% and Pascal 60% and, you know, whatever, snowball, you know, 10% and so on. And
right.
At some point you say, okay, I can only know so much. Obviously, all this gets balanced. There's a balance there, right? There's the eternal thing between getting good at something and not falling behind. I have a friend who fought tooth and nail not to leave FoxPro. Because, man, he was good at FoxPro, you know?
Yeah. That keeps working for a long time, especially as people start jumping ship, probably, because then there are fewer FoxPro experts. And so, you know, it's kind of like being the Fortran expert around the Y2K.
But it's a trap, because sooner or later, not necessarily FoxPro, but, you know, I mean, I know folks who are assembly and C programmers, and they're feeling very stuck at the moment because for a while it was exactly what you said, and then that market dried up and everybody wanted C++ or C# or whatever, Objective-C, and they had to go somewhere.
It was probably pretty easy to find cake and champagne on the Titanic as it was sinking.
That's correct. When the rich decided not to associate with the poor, so they put them down below where they were the first to go. Okay, anyway. total tangent.
Right.
But so there's that tension. I get that tension. But when you articulate a premise like, well, I'm not wedded to a particular company, and as a consultant or an individual developer or a developer in a larger company, but not a provider company like Microsoft, that I'm wedded to the best possible technology. I mean, who could argue with that? And I don't know what Microsoft's official position is. I can tell you what my official position is, that I would never turn to a developer and say, use this because it's Microsoft and you should be loyal to us, because that just sounds goofy to me. I think the case we need to make is use this because it's the best one out there. And if it isn't the best one out there, you know, maybe use it because it fits with all the other things you're using, but it's clearly our job and all our competitors' job to make the best one out there so that people vote with their feet, as you suggested. And so I don't said that way, I don't see anything particularly controversial, although, you know,
it shouldn't be.
Well, you wouldn't
although,
think.
Yeah.
It gets it's distorted. The whole
common sense. Yeah. Common sense is neither, right? It's that whole thing. So I think that on both sides, you know, there's the, what value do you place on using what you know? And for a lot of people that work in Microsoft shops, you know, they're used to Visual Studio and all that. Mm-hmm. And so it's more likely that if there are the whole network effects with technology, if you've got a lot of things at work and then say you're not completely happy with, you know, pick whatever, Microsoft's current web service technology or current data access technology, but you love everything else, well, you're not going to jump over to, you know, Java or whatever just for this one piece. So there are some times where you probably make some concessions, like you're saying, based on everything works together.
But on the other piece of that is that we're seeing things that are more modular and more plug and play.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is, if you don't work for one of those companies, there's a separate question, which I want to get to, which is, what if you do work for one of those companies? Which is, you know, that's an interesting question, actually. But if you don't, there are options. I got to tell you, I just had this happen to me, which is that starting the podcast. I was looking for, you know, because I was talking to you, I was looking for mixer software mm-hmm. and sound mixing software. And one that was recommended to me was a $700 package by another company. And it's an excellent, it's a brilliant package. It's an excellent package. And another one that was recommended to me was open source. And it's very hard not to believe if you spend $700, you're going to get much more than open source.
Yeah.
But when I made a list of everything I want to do and everything I might want to do and everything I might want to grow into, the open source package did it all. And it was free.
Yeah.
And so that's a tough one to argue with, even if you're not paying the freight. You know, I mean, it's at some point you say, there are some really interesting things in open source setting the bar high. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I would feel if I were working on a project at Microsoft and there was an open source alternative that the consensus was not just that it was free and so that weighs heavily, but even at the same price, this other one is better. I would hope that I would feel, okay, what lessons are we learning? How are we going to be better still?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I understand the temptation to say, throw our weight around, except that that's not really what I see Microsoft or any big companies doing. Somehow there's this sense of loyalty, but unless you work for the company, I mean, people make rational decisions, generally speaking, so they're going to go where the quality is, I would think. What am I saying here? Am I saying anything coherent at all?
There's so many interesting coherent things. One thing at the very end of that is you said people make rational decisions. And I think we've probably personally talked about this before, but a book that I really enjoyed was Predictably Irrational. And and so I think people assume they make rational decisions, yes, but they don't always. I know I don't.
But that book is offset by Wisdom of Crowds, which says that, you know, we may individually make irrational decisions, but the crowd as a whole over time is likely to make a rational decision.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so talking about, you know, the open source competition, I think one thing that's really nice in working with developer products at Microsoft is that they're, by and large, either open source or open source friendly, and that the developer tools are mostly available free. And so I think that takes away a lot of that competitive sort of thing where, for instance, if nHibernate is great and just does everything people love and is awesome, that actually benefits Microsoft. You know, it makes it better to be a .NET developer. It makes it more likely that Microsoft's going to sell Visual Studio licenses because people are doing more .NET developing. I mean, it makes the .NET ecosystem, the community, stronger. I mean, all these things are good things for the community and for Microsoft. I'm just picking that as a random example, but
let's stay with your random example. So, what does Microsoft have that goes head to head with nHibernate? Is it Entity Frameworks?
Yeah, I would think Entity Framework. They started more different, and I think a lot of what people asked for from Entity Framework were things that they already had in nHibernate.
Okay, so here are two guys who get their salary from Microsoft,
mm-hmm.
and when someone in the community comes and says, okay, I'm doing .NET development, and I don't have time to go spend 3 months with nHibernate and 3 months with Entity Framework, so which do you recommend? So that raises a bunch of questions. If you buy the quote-unquote alt.NET perspective, which is use the best tool, A, how do you make that evaluation? B, if you think it's not the Microsoft tool, what do you say? Because you do have some corporate responsibility. At the mm-hmm. same time, you have a credibility responsibility.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So well, how does play?
What I've always been told is be authentic and be yourself. And this goes back to common sense for me. I don't think that there should be any reason to say, you know, to push something that's not the best. I think that in most cases, it's impossible to say, to answer the which should I use question without asking some questions in response. So this goes similar to, you know, should I use WebForms or ASP.NET MVC? And then I turn around and ask a bunch of questions in response. Well, are you using one of them? Are you happy with it? What kind of applications are you building? What's, you know, do you have legacy applications? Do you know, all those sort of things. And so I think too with something like Entity Framework versus nHibernate, I think Entity Framework, some benefits it has is more modeling tools. It's more, you know, integrated with Visual Studio. It's works more the way that more Microsoft tools work, whereas nHibernate came from Hibernate historically, and so it has some kind of Java paradigms in it and is kind of more code focused. And also, although, you know, there are tools out there that'll help. And I think also there's with a lot of things, there's kind of when I use an open source application, project, whatever, it has kind of, it brings in this open source mindset. So as you'd notice, like Audacity, we were talking about for audio editing.
Which I carefully didn't name, but go ahead. That's fine.
Okay, I'm sorry about
no, that's
that.
Quite all right, because it is Audacity, and Audacity is open source and has a shocking number of features. And there's mm-hmm. no reason for me to have skipped around that except this general caution that I find that I need to fight because it's too easy to become so cautious that you start babbling and saying nothing of value. Absolutely. Let's name them and lay them on the table and,
sure.
and all will be well.
You know, I think Audacity is a great Windows program. And I think if I were, you know, if I were running marketing for Windows, I would push it. I would say Audacity, you know, Windows is great. Look at all these great tools you can run for free. There's a list of great open source applications that run great on Windows, and I think Audacity is one that I've been very happy with. But it's interesting, like the way that you get tools for Audacity is more open source oriented. So like when I recommended a dynamic compressor, it's on somebody's blog, and it's a Nyquist file, which is a Lisp based, you know, text kind of file, and you download it and you drop it in a folder and there it goes. And it's just kind of more like developer-y, you know, whereas right, like right. if you're getting a plugin for a commercial product, normally you'll buy it and you'll get an installer and you'll run it and you'll enter a license key and, you know, like that, and you'll get like an official, you know, you'll get a receipt in your email and you'll get update notifications and that sort of thing. It's just it's more consumer.
And right. And in the past, I think the consumer sales guy would say to you, yes, but with the open source, you're on your own. And with us, you get technical support. One of the things that I've noticed is that the open source has a very strong support community. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not the same as dialing up a support phone number because you're going on to Stack Overflow or you're going on to wherever you're going to get that right. information. Although, binging that on Google usually makes that a fairly quick solution. Or Googling that on Bing. Which is it? I don't know.
I call it bingling.
Bingling. I like bingling. But the other piece to that is that even the commercial, you know, call us, we give you great technical support. 90% of the time now, it's, well, don't call us unless you're willing to pay. Go on to our forum and ask me. So it's not clear often that you're getting much more support. Depends on the product, depends on the company. And with Audacity, it's an easy call because we at Microsoft don't have a competitor. But mm-hmm. when someone comes to you and says, well, what do you use for source control? We do mm-hmm. have a competitor with the open source, right? The open source one is SVN or any of the variants of, you know, Tortoise SVN or
yeah. You know, now there's a lot of them. Get Mercurial right. and all that. Yeah,
and we have VSTS.
Yeah, and again, I think that's a very similar kind of split. Like Team System, we used that at my previous company at Vertigo, and it worked great. You know, like it was. Everyone was on the same network, and everybody, like the integration with Visual Studio was great, and they had a lot of expertise in-house on how to run it. And so things worked really well. However, I was a remote developer, and I was more kind of an open source guy. And so for me, I clashed with it at times because I wanted it to work like Subversion. And so, you know, mm-hmm. I think that Team System really kind of sells itself in a group where you have mostly developers that are on a network that are part of a corporate domain that, you know, like it seems like it really was built to maximize that.
Mm-hmm. As opposed to Microsoft's old offering, which did go more head to head.
Well, no, Microsoft's old offering was SourceSafe, which right. I don't know really what it was. I mean, I guess SourceSafe kind of was similar. Like it was in competition to like, CVS and, you know, mm-hmm. was still kind of more, you know, works on the network, works for like had pessimistic locking. So one right. person checks out a file, nobody else can touch it, that kind of thing.
Right. And it had a lot of trouble with the internet, although SOS for mm-hmm. a little while helped with that. But yeah. no question, folks who were, we don't still make SourceSafe, right? That's gone. I can like trash it freely and openly. And because I try not to.
You can,
let me be clear. I try just for myself in terms of balancing that force of being very, very honest and yet not biting the hand that feeds me.
Right, right.
I try not to trash Microsoft products. I won't put forward a Microsoft product that I don't think is any good or that I don't think is the right answer, but I'm not going to go say that one's junk.
Yeah.
And for that matter, I try not to trash competitive products. You know, I was on the, just by way of that, I was on the word escapes me. Okay, this is good. And we're leaving this in. I am not cutting out the fact that I have no word retrieval left in my brain.
So, I was going to start yelling some out just to see what.
Yeah, thank you. I was on the Flex show is what I was trying to say.
Okay. Yeah.
And somewhere along the line, they said something to the effect of, okay, so tell us why we should leave Flex and become Silverlight developers. And my response was, no, I mean, that's not why I'm here. And that's not what I'm about. And I think, you know, Flex is, and now it's really, I think, being reintegrated into Flash. I think it's a very powerful product. I know people who love it and work on it, and they're very happy. And if you're happy, you're happy. Mm-hmm. And folks who are in the Microsoft world, I think Silverlight's a no-brainer in terms of being able to use the same skills that you already have and know, and it's a phenomenal product. And I joined Microsoft because of Silverlight. And like you, and I think this is true of a lot of folks in our role, we don't particularly like a product because we work for Microsoft. We came to Microsoft because we liked the product.
That's, you know, just I've got to echo that because that's so important. Like I have conversations with people and it's just, I can understand the thinking, but it's frustrating where they'll say, you know, of course you say that you work for Microsoft. And I just have to say, well, like, I work for Microsoft because I think these are good products. I like working this way. I like this, you know, I like what Microsoft's providing here. And that's a company I want to work for. You know, like I just couldn't see like going to work for a company I didn't believe in and then mm-hmm. saying a bunch of things I didn't believe. Like, who does that? I mean, I'm sure
people do. I'm sure. I mean, when you got to pay the bills, you got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
But, and that also doesn't necessarily mean that both of us like every single product that Microsoft makes mm-hmm. better than every single product that anybody else makes. So one of the questions is, how do you maintain that credibility? For me, the alt.net, I'll bring that right back to where we started. The alt.net idea and mindset says that, yes, you want to be reasonable. You have a responsibility in terms of how you present yourself and how you talk with folks in the community. And yes, what you said is certainly true, which is that different products for different situations. And it's not as simple as this better or that better. It's, well, what are you trying to do? But mm-hmm. within that mindset, there's still the let's walk away from everything is in this tight little universe and nothing from outside that universe is worth looking at, and instead move to a mindset that says, let's embrace open source as a concept. Let's embrace much of what's going on in the community and in the competition. Encourage folks to use the best of all possible and use that as a motivation for the places where we do compete to out-compete and to get really good. I mean, there's no question in my mind that Microsoft is a lot better off having Adobe and Google and Apple, and I'm not so sure we compete with Apple, but that said, yeah. You know, all these other companies out there than if they weren't, because you do, I mean, I'm a basic believer within a much more complicated conversation with it, you know, of market capitalism that mm-hmm. it does encourage better products. So I don't see why this would frighten anybody. And yet clearly it does.
Yeah.
Clearly those words do. And so that leads me to this, which is there's at least one guy at Microsoft who I know and like a great deal who has on his blog an alt.net guy. And you don't.
Mm.
And yet you clearly have those values. And so is it like you're just not a joiner, or do you avoid saying that, or how is that?
You know, I don't have any bumper stickers on my car either. I've never been like, I've always kind of, I think that it's hard when you call yourself I am a this guy kind of thing that people mm-hmm. bring so much into that. So if I say I am alt.net, well, what does that mean to some people? It means different things. I don't know. I haven't signed myself up to be a lot of things really, now that I think about it. I mean, if people said, hey, do you agree with this list of things? Is this how you develop? Sure. Yeah, that's what I do.
By the way, the bumper sticker I have on my car says there's no place like 127.0.0.1. And I get more comments on that bumper sticker.
Wow. Yeah. You know, we danced around this earlier on, but there definitely was kind of earlier on this kind of angry.net, alt.net thing mm-hmm. where people were like, finally, the revolt against Microsoft. And, you know, maybe in some ways there were some things about it that were overdue or were coming that was like, you know, people wanted to say, look, we're tired of this sort of development tool that doesn't work with open source technologies, that doesn't work distributed, that doesn't, you know, all these things. And so, you know, there was some kind of maybe built up angst, but I never kind of identified with taking it beyond that. You know, I always kind of like, without making it too dramatic, I mean, you know, if you look at the civil rights movement, there were different, you know, there was the Martin Luther King mm-hmm. kind of style. And then there was also like the Black Panther, you know, like let's blow things up style. And, you know, I think that.
So you're more King than Huey Newton.
I guess.
That's good to know.
You know, I mean, I just have always been like there's always, you know, there are times where you really need to shake things up. And then I think that a lot of the time, the way to move forward is to do good stuff.
So is all.NET a success? Did it work?
Then you're back to whose agenda were
you
following?
Your agenda.
My agenda, yes, I think so. I think that so many positive things have happened. Like if you look at, I believe ASP.NET MVC is a great product that's come out of that. I think that a lot of things were motivated by what alt.net was asking for. I think
So that was my question. Is that alt.net or scott.gu?
Well, and so I think, you know, Scott definitely pays attention to what the alt.net community is asking for in where it's practical, you know? So like, if you look at the things that Scott has either made happen or, you know, push for, there are things like making things more open source, making things more open source friendly, paying attention to the friction points that alt.net folks are pointing out in developing with Microsoft products. So I think, you know, Scott just brings that kind of practicality into development. And so I think that the whole practical alt.net style is kind of always what Scott's done if you look at it. Like, you know, if you look at where he started with ASP.NET and, you know, going for .NET as a development platform, which was kind of edgy and pushy at the time, but it was a great bet, you know. And then if you just kind of look along the way at things that where Scott has motivated these kind of bigger and in retrospect kind of edgy changes, they're that whole practical, let's just do great stuff.
Which is part of the reason he's the only developer I've ever seen get a standing ovation before he says anything.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. Okay, so now that we've done our necessary adulation, and bringing this in for a somewhat safe landing, do you think alt.net continues to exist, continues to serve a purpose? Because it has done a whole lot. And I feel bad because I never had my alt.net bumper sticker. So is it too late?
Well, so I think that I think alt.net and being... Like I said, I never got the bumper sticker or an official card, so I really don't know. But I've seen alt.net kind of split into two camps. There's mm-hmm. the, okay, we're accepted, we're a, we have a voice, and we're not angry, we just want to do great stuff. I've seen that camp continue to move ahead and use the kind of power and voice that it's gotten to make changes. And they're you know, they're smaller course correction type of changes. They're not blow stuff up kind of changes, but there are things where it's, you know, reviewing products or saying, you know, thanks for giving us this whatever preview one or CTP. We don't like it for these reasons. This is good. Mm-hmm. This is bad. Let's fix this. And then also just jumping in with a lot of open source contribution stuff. And then those things end up being pretty strong recommendations to Microsoft. If everyone loves a certain open source technology, hey, we're building this because you're not providing it. Maybe you should, you know.
So I'm going to coin the phrase for you, right? So the folks who have your mindset, that's alt.net. That's what alt.net was originally defined to be. The folks who are saying, no, alt.net or the thing I'm interested in is anything but Microsoft, we're going to call them shift.net. and not worry about it.
Control-alt-delete.net,
exactly.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, in a way, it's just not .net, kind of. I mean, because right. I think that at a point, a lot of the people that were most vocal have moved on. And I think that's the only real practical thing to do is if you're completely unhappy with Microsoft, you were waiting to have your say about how Microsoft was just ruining your life with the choices they'd made with their developer products. At some point, you can either be angry your whole life or you'd move to somewhere you're happier. And I don't really, frankly, see anything wrong with that. You know, like Microsoft or any company can't please all its customers. I can't make, you know, sugar-free cake topping that's very rich, you know? Like, I mean, you have to...
Oh, you're in trouble now. But okay. We're going to hear from a whole different crowd now.
On the fly, it's hard to make one product that appeals to every single person. And so I think that there are, you know, some people that just are not going to be happy and should, you know, move on to where they'll be happy. And I think that that's what a lot of people ended up doing. And so they'll pop in from time to time and say, you know, you guys still suck, you know.
Right, right. But the bottom line that makes this interesting, and I think we've gone through it, and so I don't want to go around in circles, but the bottom line for me that makes this interesting is that there's enough passion out there, mm-hmm. which means that there's enough interest out there. There's enough, it's important to people. It's how they make their living. It's also what they're passionate about. And so at least the original AltNet concept, and a lot of the folks who are still talking in those terms, are talking from a perspective of, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to stay. I want it to be as good as it possibly can. And so, yes, there ought to be people who are making sure that there are lockdown, reliable, dependable pieces here that are not always changing, but there also need to be people who are looking at it and saying, wait, we could be better, we could be different, we could be more integrated, we could be whatever. Yeah. And those two forces need to be in tension with each other.
Two things I'm thinking about. One is going back earlier to what you'd said about things getting to be the right, like things fitting in better and being the right sizes and that kind of thing. Scott Hanselman gave the keynote at MVC Conf back in July, and it was a really cool presentation where he talked about, you know, the Lego pieces being the right size. So it used to be that you either had huge Lego pieces like SharePoint, or you had tiny little pieces like, you know, this little library that you can download from CodePlex. And so the idea now is things are more at the same size in terms of swappability. So yes. It's like, okay, I like everything about ASP.NET MVC, except I just identify more with data access using nHibernate. Great. I can swap that in without having to jump ship completely, you know, or without feeling like I'm being forced to make this huge decision. And so I think you find that more and more with a lot of things is that Microsoft's building tools that allow you to pick and choose a little bit more and aren't pushing the whole vendor lock-in thing, because there's no real point to doing that, you know, especially with mostly free developer tools. Another thing that I'm thinking with that is, you know, we're talking about this whole just kind of more practical, friendly, happy, let's all do great stuff thing that allows for an alt.net, you know, I'm going to do what's best for me thing. I'm thinking of alt.net Seattle as an example, and I know there's a lot of great things that are similar, but when I went to alt.net Seattle, I've been to two meetings there, and they're just really cool because they're very, you know, they are open-minded. They're like, I mean, I went to classes on Ruby as a language, you know, not all Ruby on Rails, just like, let's learn Ruby and mm-hmm. Ruby for beginners. And then I went to other talks on Clojure, and I went to a talk on Node.js and all these tools that, you know, are not Microsoft products, and some don't even run on Windows yet, like Node.js, really. But none of it was like, Microsoft sucks, this is why this is better. You know, it was just kind of like, hey, let's all learn something cool and new. And then I am able to apply those things when I'm doing any development, because I have broadened my base, and I haven't had to spend years learning all these other products. It's just kind of a, like, let's broaden our horizons kind of thing. And there were some great talks on Microsoft products, and there were a lot of Microsoft people there, and it was really cool, you know. So I just really find that whole style of, like, let's learn and grow together. I hope that's the main lasting impact of alt.net.
Well, there couldn't be a better closing note than that, so I think we'll leave it there.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you joining me on this.